Welcome to A Better HR Business, the podcast that looks at how HR consultants and HR tech firms grow their businesses and how they help their employers to get the best out of their people. Remember, for show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Okay, let's get started.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Great to have you along. And I'm really looking forward to today's conversation with Geraldine Volok-Adamin. Now, Geraldine is like me in a few different ways. One is she's from one place living somewhere else. Secondly, she has a name that can strike fear into the hearts of people. It can be challenging to say. And then thirdly, she's doing some amazing work in the field of HR. But firstly, Geraldine, thank you very much for joining me today.
Super excited to be here.
Yeah. My pleasure. So to the intro there, you are from Paris, correct? Living in San Francisco, is that right?
Yes, as you can guess, there's a kind of a French accent here. But yes, living in San Francisco. I've been living in San Francisco for 10 years now.
Right. At least you've gone from one wonderful food place to another. So that's good, at least. I always joke on the name side of things because people find different names unusual. And for years, the Microsoft spell check used to suggest my surname, Gagan. It used to have the red squiggly line. If you right-clicked on it, it would suggest egghead. Egghead is the correct spelling. So we go through these things together. But yeah, I'd love to hear about Good for Work because it's such an important area, the area of teams, team performance, engagement, talent recognition, so on in the world of work. So two things. One is I'd love to hear exactly what Good for Work is and does. I know it's around employee engagement and the talent recognition, but then maybe you could take us back a step and to your thinking and the reason why or what drove you to actually form the business and launch it. So yeah, give us the background and then let's get into actually what Good for Work does.
Yeah, sure. So you need to know that I do have this strong HR background. So it's not a coincidence that I am a founder and CEO in the HR tech space. And my takeaway from the first part of my career in the HR space was very much about to engage people or to engage teams, you need to play to people's strengths. This is the first way as a leader and to make sure that your team is engaged and motivated. So based on that experience as a leader, I at some point moved to San Francisco and I noticed how many people could walk from, you know, coffee shop everywhere. And the problem was how, as leader, they can engage, you know, their people by working so remote from their teams. So that's how I started to think through, okay, the playing to people's strengths is one thing, but if you do have global teams on top of that, how do you create that connection with people that makes them engaged? Starting from there, you know that, and I'm sure that your audience know, that recognition is the first driver of employee engagement. And we also know that employee engagement is a big problem today in our world of work. Numbers are not really great, you know, and it doesn't getting better over time. So this is what Good for Work is about. Recognition, but in this new world of work, which is driven by skills. So we talk more and more about skill-driven organizations. And the reason why we keep talking about that is because definitely we are still are in a talent shortage, you know, for the best talents. It's all about upskilling, reskilling, and with AI, definitely people need to update their skill set. And it's also very important in terms of, you know, for enterprise to be very competitive, to be able to spot which are the skills needed for their customers. So it means that today, instead of starting from job description, which can be super complicated and kind of related to a very static world, very hierarchical, now we definitely need to emphasize what skills people have and to be able to leverage their skills for talent mobility. So this is what Good for Work is about. So basically, to make it short, we recognize people's skills and soft skills. And we do that in a very classic way with the software integrated with a team communication tool. which is Microsoft Teams or Slack. So we can send a badge for skills or soft skills. And then when we consider that the data is robust enough, meaning that we have removed the biases and that we do have 360-degree approach about people giving recognition, we at some point have a pattern of what the person is really good at and what are the skill set of the person. And then we expose that on the blockchain. So this is what we call Web3. You know, it's just a question of new environment, new technologies that we can leverage for talent capability.
So in a practical sense, how does it work for someone sitting in their office or at their desk if it's a remote situation? Is it like there's an audit or an assessment done of everyone in the company of certain skills? So what skills are you looking at? And then how do you work out what level of skill each person has?
So great question. The value of data in talent management is very much based on being able to capture continuous data. We don't want one-time assessment. You know, that's the same idea of doing a training. As soon as the training is done, how do you make sure that you do leverage what you've learned? So this is exactly what we do with continuous feedback, okay? And continuous positive feedback associated to the badge for skill or soft skill. So when people do send in the flow of work a badge for recognition, you know, explaining who, when, where, and why, and how basically the person made the difference, they need to explain why, you know. It's about capturing that experience at work. And it's basically in the flow of work. So you can do that. You select your badge for skill from your communication tool, and you explain why you're giving the badge for the person. So super simple, you know, and it has always been around in HR, not especially for skill, but, you know, positive feedback and continuous feedback is very much something that is important to them.
Got it. So when you say badge, you mean like a recognition, a peer-to-peer recognition, so that I can recognize Mary in the finance department for her excellent reporting and stuff that helps me do my job. So that's a sort of a recognition thing, or does it delve into the skills that go into the tasks? How does that badge system work?
Yeah. So it's structured with a library of skills and soft skills, and we plug it into a nomenclature, a standard, to make sure that, you know, there's a kind of interoperability there. So we plug into a standard for soft skills and a standard for skills. And then, yes, you pick the skills that you want to recognize and you just add some positive feedback to it that you can capture. But to your point, you just want to make sure that not only one person is giving the feedback, right? And you want to have inputs from another team, another manager, and even a customer can provide the feedback. The customer won't have access to the whole workspace, but only will go through the process of picking a badge for skill and explaining why the person made a difference. And when you do have enough inputs from different people, you consider that the data is robust enough, and you consider that it's worth it to have it in your career portfolio. So it's kind of, I'm building up my passport with my competencies along the way, and I can keep that forever.
So from the individual's point of view, they are getting more realistic or more frequent or more enjoyable feedback as they go in a sort of a 360-degree fashion. So you can come from different avenues, which helps them improve their skills and get feedback and understand what people value maybe more than others in terms of skill set. And on the external side of things, they can then take that into the Web3 world, which means it can be independently verified, or there's, and this is where I completely have no idea of the system beyond it, but in terms of the blockchain, and could in future be recognized elsewhere beyond just here's some stuff I learned and it's on my CV. It's almost like an international standard, if you like, which is good for them.
Exactly. So basically it can improve talent mobility all over the world, or, you know, starting within the company, because if you identify the skill most of the skills are hidden, you know. How do you know that this particular person is speaking French, except hearing the accent? But how do you know how many bilingual people you do have in your company? How do you know this particular person who is very good at Excel or any kind of software? You really need to identify that the skills of people. So that's the first tick. And the beauty of blockchain there is that you can keep your data. It's about ownership of data, okay? So that means that when you leave the company, you can still own your positive feedback and you can still leverage that for the next step of your career, for your recruitment process. And two, for employers, it definitely increases the credibility of resumes, which is, you know, a big pain. And instead of making some phone calls, trying to find some recommendations, what can be easier than just having all the feedback captured along the way and showcasing that?
I can see that working really well, particularly for international companies or large national companies where in the olden days there used to be slating or career planning sessions with management teams locked away in private rooms where they would look at who could move into a job in the future. And it was all...
Agree.
Oh, I'm sure it's probably pretty male dominated. And whereas this is very much more flexible, is it democratic? I don't know. Is that the right word? But where it's data driven as opposed to just a bunch of opinions in a room. So that opens up and unlocks talent. And as you say, there are people with hidden talents, not just languages or certain skill sets, but even the people who are doing customer service or sales roles and things like that, where they don't often get the chance to run a project. In fact, they've done lots of projects or they've done them externally or they've done one-off things, which may be recognized through this system. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like that you're pointing out that the career process, it's hard to remove biases in the career management process. And this is where HR people can see the value of continuous positive feedback or continuous feedback. So it can help in the end for performance management review. You know, as a manager, as for you, I guess we absolutely need to log everything, not to forget. And yes, you know, it's super important. And we know all the biases in terms of career. So you do have the recency bias, for example, you tend to remember only what happened lately, you know. So imagine you have a top performer, something happened, the performance review is happening like 1 week. Later. It's dramatic and it's not fair. And also it doesn't mean that that person couldn't go to another project in another environment. And when it's so hard to spot talent, to retain talent, the more we can approach the truth of data, the more valuable it can be for both employers and employees. And, it's about talent mobility in them.
So on the company side, in terms of pain points, challenges, HR problems that Good for Work solves, it fosters the employee engagement because they're getting feedback and it's more positive stuff than just the negative stuff, which is disengaging. It probably increases communication flow, which has all the side benefits of better ideas and people working together better and faster, etc. And I guess there's also a buildup of awareness or data of the skill sets and abilities of the people so we can actually use the whole person more. So would they be the main sort of challenges and things that you see, or what are people telling you when they use it? What are the problems and benefits that they are seeing from a company perspective?
It always starts with that new environment again about skill-driven organization where we do see the value of skills and how we need in this new world, which is, question of everything is more complex. We do have accelerations everywhere. So definitely it's about accelerating the talent recruitment process, the talent mobility process. And it's true that, when you focus on recognizing people, of course, it's about engagement. So it's like the double the double effect of, I need to work on employee engagement and recognition is the first driver of employee engagement. And on the other hand, I need to map the skills in my organization. How can I do that? You know, and we know that a job description is not enough for that, because again, it's a question of assessing in situation, in the flow of work, what is the skill set of people. So yeah, this is more about mapping skills, talent mobility, recruitment process, how to make it easier, more robust, and in a fast pace.
Nice. In the world of HR software, HR tech, there are so many different point-to-point solutions for everything, like the recruitment, offboarding, onboarding, training, et cetera, pay and benefits. So it can be hard to get cut through. But then the biggest challenger, I think, for every software company in the HR space is often just Microsoft Excel. You know, that so many companies go, oh, we can do our salaries on Excel, or we could do our skills assessment. We could just look through all the position descriptions and put it down into a spreadsheet. You know, what's your answer to employers around the benefits of using Good for Work as opposed to some sort of manual system? And then secondly, how do you find your place in the world when these employers are trying to decide between all these different software solutions?
Great question. So it's true that the HR tech market is super complex. And we have learned along the way, you know, we started in Web2. We are now in Web3 after the request of customers to tokenize skills, because they absolutely wanted to showcase the skill of their employees. And, you know, it's a question for certain industries. Not all the industry are early adopters, obviously. But, for example, for the traditional early adopters in the consulting industry, the gaming industry or luxury industry, where Web3 is already leveraged as a technology, it's quite, you know, easy to understand that if you want to align your brand with your employees' skill set, you can definitely showcase that. For example, people can even showcase that on LinkedIn. You know, you can definitely use the badge that you received, and as it already does exist on LinkedIn, but you could go even a step further by having that badge on blockchain, which means that you own it and not LinkedIn, obviously, and you can keep it. And imagine that brand is very well recognized for, you know, the quality of their leaders, the positive impact of their leaders. Okay. If a leader do have this 360 degree overview of positive feedback from customers, from peers, and can showcase that, of course, it's good for the brand in the end, you know. And it means that it's accelerating also the talent mobility within the industry. That's why we talk about alumni, you know, and sometimes we even talk about the boomerang effect, how we can reattract talents who left the company. This is exactly about that.
Yeah, very smart. That's also clever. And for people listening, that you've aligned Good for Work with a few particular industries. So I think you said consulting, gaming, and the luxury goods sectors, because they're more proactive, I guess, and certainly on the consulting side, I would know more that they want to be on the leading edge of technology and the way that consulting is conducted and so on. So they would be very much into the idea of getting this constant feedback 360, but being able to show it off to potential clients to show that our panel of consultants is what makes us different, because we don't have machinery or perfumes to sell. We have this thing. And so yeah, I think that's really clever. And then on the business growth side of things, what are you doing to get the word out there, or what do you plan to do to market and promote Good for Work?
So we do a bunch of thought leadership. So articles, LinkedIn Live events, webinars, you know, it's all about explaining that Web3 can definitely be a great technology to improve the talent capability for our world of work. And it's not intuitive, right? We need to explain, we need to educate. People need to understand as well that there are different categories of blockchain. And what we do at Good for Work is utility blockchain. So it's more on the side. So it's not tied to financial value. So there's no trading there. There's no kind of mindset there. It's very much only about equipping people about career data in the end. So it's all about explaining, you know, that you can leverage a technology only for, you know, what it can bring that is better than our current world. So I like explaining that Web3 is not about a radical change. The goal is absolutely not to replace our current internet by Web3, but more to improve what doesn't work in our current internet of career and how the technology can help for that. So for example, if there's one thing that people can take away for understanding the value of blockchain in talent capability is about data ownership. Okay. With blockchain, you do own your data, you know? You can keep your data, you can keep your positive feedback, even if you leave your company, which is, of course, very important, especially when you think how complicated can be the recruitment process most of the time. I've heard that we have more and more interviews on top of shilling.
Yeah, it's hard work. So I've only got a small brain, right? So the Web3, blockchain, these are topics that are new to many people. For someone like me, I'm going, oh dear, what do I do? So you said that you would educate the market with thought leadership and stuff, particularly, you know, LinkedIn Lives, webinars, things like that. How do you choose what topics to talk about? And then secondly, how do you market that in such a way that people who could potentially become customers of the service would attend those, as opposed to just people who are already at the cutting edge and are not necessarily looking for some HR solutions, they're just interested in the topic of Web3? So how do you choose those topics?
Yeah. So example, our next LinkedIn Live event with Korean woman Olubek, who is a LinkedIn influencer, will be on April 17. And we do have two speakers there. One is VP of HR and is explaining the big picture, the context about skill-driven organization, and how critical it can be to map skills and how it can be done. And then we do have an expert, a lawyer, and also a teacher who is the best person to break down the latest of the compliance in Web3, which is very much the kind of topics that HR people like. You know, they want to know what they need to do in terms of compliance, where they are, what the risks are, how to mitigate the risk, etc. And then I'm explaining how we can bridge that compliance on one hand by still innovating and bringing on the table some innovations that can, you know, help for the talent capability.
Have you looked at any other methods and what has worked or has not worked or any lessons along the way?
Definitely, I think you need to know your audience. It's like writing an article, okay? It's the same thing. At the beginning, I was thinking, okay, in terms of value to bring to the audience, what is it possible to do? And I realized that most of the time, especially because I do have an HR background, putting myself in the shoes of HR people, imagining what I like learning, what is important to me, is the best approach always. The same thing about writing. The best, you know, writers actually do write something they like, they would like to read, not something that they imagine would please to their readers. It's all about enjoying as well the journey and sharing the passion and what you like doing. So I think there's something there, which you do, Ben.
Try to. So yeah, what does the future hold for Good for Work? What's the plan in the next phase of growth?
Yeah, so big plan in terms of, you know, having even more customers in the consulting industry and gaming and luxury. Definitely about helping our customers, enterprise customers, to align their talent capability with the strategy. And for Good for Work, yes, we are already global. So with a team in San Francisco and a team in Paris, and so keep growing at the global level and provide value and helping our customers align their strategy with their talents.
Excellent. I love it. So this is great. It's obviously going to have a big impact on employee engagement. So if people want to learn more, perhaps become a customer or be able to refer in, partner up with Good For Work, what should they do next?
Yeah, so LinkedIn is the best place to reach out to me. Easy to find. You know, I'm the only one with that name. And also follow the page on LinkedIn, the Good For Work page, where we do all the announcements about the future events. If people want to learn and do have a curious mindset, we are happy to explain, to educate again. So if HR people only come with a curious mind, I'm happy to have a call with them to explain how blockchain can help in the future and in a safe way.
So yeah, if you're listening to this on the go, check the show notes. We'll have the links to the website and to the LinkedIn page. But the website is Good For Work with a number four, so goodforwork.com. But otherwise, Jean-Lina, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I wish you all the best with Good For Work. It's amazing work you're doing, and keep going with it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ben.
Thanks for joining us today on A Better HR Business, the podcast that explores the world of HR consulting and HR tech businesses. For show notes and downloads, go to www.getmorehrclients.com/podcast. That's getmorehrclients.com/podcast. Remember to subscribe and share the show with any friends who are busy growing a HR business. Thanks, and see you next time.